Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
CC Sabathia, obviously Yankee great, not just the Yankees, won a Cy Young in Cleveland, came up through the Cleveland organization, had that great run in Milwaukee where he carried that team down the stretch after getting traded to them in the middle of the year, just carried that team starting every third day and then, you know, eventually ran out of gas in the postseason. But just an incredible run there, which, you know, he won a championship with the... coming from a Yankee fan, I have to admit. He won a championship with the Yankees, was an ace for the Yankees. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Yankee hat, but his most memorable stretch might be that with that Milwaukee team. Even though they didn't, you know, win a playoff series, he was throwing complete game shutout after complete game shutout on 3 days rest. I mean, he was just a horse, and that's what you think of when you think of CC Sabathia. He's a horse who then reinvented himself. Like, he became one of the more successful power pitchers who in later years turned into, I wouldn't say finesse necessarily, but completely changed his pitching style. Added the cutter from Andy Pettit and kind of went to much more of change of speed, keep guys off balance, and was only throwing at 92 miles an hour. 91, 92 mile an hour fastball, and still was successful. He had a year where he really struggled with that transition and then figured it out. But he went from a power pitcher throwing 99 miles an hour, blowing it by you. That big frame of his was huge for the Yankees in the playoff run, ALCS MVP in 09, and just changed the clubhouse. And if you remember, that's what, you know, Cashman wanted him to do. That clubhouse, believe it or not, now that we think they're all babied and we have a big problem with how it's run, that Yankee clubhouse at the time felt stale. And, you know, Derek Jeter, as much as we love him, and I'm not trying to knock Derek Jeter, he's the best. Love Derek Jeter. Love you, Derek. Him kind of not allowing any fun is, you know, kind of that feeling of it being so, hey, we're the New York Yankees. We do it by the book, you know, blah, blah. And everything that was so successful with Joe Torre and that group, as time goes on and groups change and lock and clubhouses change and different people come in, it felt like it was, you know, too much of a stuffy clubhouse, for lack of a better term. And CC was brought in and acknowledges that that was what was the perception around the league, is that it was a place where, you know, Jorge and Jeter run buckshot over the team, and, you know, it's very professional. It's very uptight. It's not very much of a loose, fun clubhouse. And CC Sabathia, who didn't want to come east, was convinced by a whole lot of money to come to the New York Yankees. And instantly, him, along with Nick Swisher, you got to give him credit, and maybe even A.J. Burnett slightly, change that organization, but obviously none of them had the impact on the field that CC Sabathia did. And I mean, that one championship that unfortunately we're still clinging on to all these years later was huge for this franchise, because think about if they didn't win that 09 championship. And that's what I would say to anybody who hates Alex Rodriguez. And obviously we're going to say this now as we all celebrate, and I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't love CC Sabathia if you're a Yankee fan. The way he stuck up for the team, the way he would, I mean, that famous last game of the year, I forget what year it was, but he had if he finished another two innings, he would have triggered an $800,000 clause or something like that. $200,000, $800,000, a million, something like that. But big money clause for another couple of innings. And instead he forewent that money and just threw it the Rays out of principle. Out of protecting his guys, being a teammate. I mean, he is the epitome of that. But like I was saying, him and Alex Rodriguez are probably, for me, I mean, Teixeira has a walk-off home run. Jeter played well in the World Series. And obviously, Matsui's the MVP of the World Series. So those three guys, if you got to include Matsui, he won the MVP, for crying out loud. He was incredible. I mean, CeCe and A-Rod and then Matsui are the difference between the Yankees not having a championship since 2000. I mean, that's how important is that 09 championship to the New York Yankees? Although maybe, as crazy as some of you are on Yankee Twitterland and everybody who hates Brian Cashman, maybe they would have been better off without it, because Brian Cashman might not still be the GM if they haven't won a World Series since 2000. Maybe you'd be free of him right now and the Yankees would be better off. You dopes. But CC Sabathia, great, great New York Yankee, one of the great free agent signings they ever had, changed the team, changed the clubhouse, one of the best teammates, just an absolute stud, someone you could rely upon, big game pitcher, everything that brings the term ace, and well-deserved as he gets into the Hall of Fame. Ichiro, there's nothing to even discuss. I mean, just one of the great. I mean, to come here at the age of 27, play 19 seasons, get 3,000 hits, most hits in a season, just be a force. That rookie year where he wins the MVP and the rookie year in 2001 and leads them to their great year after losing Alex Rodriguez and Randy Johnson. Think of those teams with the Mariners and obviously King Griffey Jr. I mean, no Griffey, no Alex Rodriguez, no big unit. I mean, those are kind of the guys you think of when you think of the imposing Seattle Mariners, and yet the best team they ever had, Ichiro's rookie season of 2001, had none of those guys. And they win more games than anyone in history, and of course lose to the Yankees in the ALCS. But, I mean, that rookie year, he what an incredible outfielder with an incredible arm for his stature. His ability to do anything. I mean, all the years we've heard that he could, if he wanted to hit 35 home runs, you kind of hear the same thing about Wade Boggs, too. If Wade Boggs and Ichiro wanted to hit 30 home runs a year, they could have, but that wasn't the kind of baseball player he wanted to be. But an incredible player in every sense of the word, and to do what he was able to accomplish from 27 on, to get as many hits and play as long as he did, and obviously in a Yankee uniform as well, no-brainer. And the idea, look, we can get hung up on these. I don't mind it. I don't care. Is the guy who didn't vote for Ichiro Suzuki an idiot? Yeah, but you know how many, like, I just mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. He missed by more than one vote. What, he get 97, 98%? Like, who wouldn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr.? Like, it's just, the whole idea is dumb, and I don't get hung up on it. You're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. Is it special that Mariano Rivera is the one unanimous? I suppose. I mean, I'm sure for Mariano it's special, but, I mean, Willie Mays is a unanimous Hall of Famer. I don't care who didn't vote for him. Like, honestly. I mean, do we really, when you think of Willie Mays, do you put him anywhere lower than Mariano Rivera because the Baseball Writers of America didn't unanimously put him into the Hall of Fame? Do you feel different about Joe DiMaggio or Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth or Ty Cobb?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Or, you know, any of the great players in baseball history, Ted Williams. Do you think Ted Williams is less of a Hall of Famer than Mariano Rivera? Or Derek Jeter's a better player than Ted Williams because he got one only missed by one vote and Ted Williams probably missed by more? Like, it's all, who cares? People get hung up on this and the guy should be outed. I mean, look, should you have to justify your ballot? I suppose. But I don't care. I don't care who it is. I don't think he should lose his job. Whatever. I mean, there are people who voted for guys who don't deserve, right? I think Ian Kinsler got a couple of votes. Is Ian Kinsler a Hall of Famer? Because, like, to me, whether you want to have a conversation about Ian Kinsler and put his name and try and get him on more than 5% of the ballots to keep his name out there because, you know, you're a Ranger beat writer or you're a Detroit Tiger beat writer or whatever, and you enjoyed your time with Ian Kinsler, who was a nice little solid player. But honestly, what's more egregious? Voting for Ian Kinsler to be a Hall of Famer or not voting for Ichiro? Because I think they're both silly. But who cares? We get so hung up on, you know, whether or not Ichiro should be unanimous or whatever. It's just, it's never been the way, and I don't care. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer in my mind. Some of the guys I mentioned, I don't believe, there was a time where they didn't put guys in first ballot. I'm pretty sure Joe DiMaggio is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, that's just nuts. I love CeCe Sabathia. Is he more of a first ballot Hall of Famer than Joe DiMaggio? But the interesting conversation also is Carlos Beltran, who got 70% of the vote. And I think Carlos Beltran, without question, is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the better center fielders of his generation. He's an all-around great hitter. He was a proven postseason player. And if it is true, now I understand why the steroid guys are getting the numbers. Alex Rodriguez got 37. Like, to me, Hall of Fame is also part of you can't tell the story without. Right? I've always kind of judged it that way in some ways. Like, the idea that Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame to me is just stupid. He was one of a bunch of people doing steroids, and I think it's short-sighted. Even if it's guys who fail tests, as opposed to the ambiguity of, on some level, of Barry Bonds, who I think we all have our very strong opinions on, but as far as I know, never failed a test, and has proclaimed his innocence, you know, for lack of a better term, for his entire career. Same with Roger Clemens. We have the Mitchell Report. We have all the first, you know, person testimony. We have Andy Pettit acknowledging his role in it. But Roger Clemens never failed a test, and Roger Clemens has proclaimed his innocence this entire time and has had some victories in court. So those two, fine. Alex Rodriguez is getting 30% because he's failed tests. Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez, you can't tell the story of baseball in the 90s and in the 2000s without Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. I mean, it's just, it's silly to me. And to me, I feel kind of the same way about Carlos Beltran. And so I don't know if he's being punished. And again, 70%, I think almost every single Hall of Fame nominee who has gotten to 70% eventually gets over the 75% threshold. But the one thing I do hate, and I have to admit, as much as I can't stand the 2017 Houston Astros, and as much as I even believe that Carlos Beltran and, to me, Alex Cora, after reading everything, that Beltran and Cora are as culpable and as at the top of the entire thing as any other two individuals involved in it, I do agree with that on some level. But why is Carlos Beltran the only one who has to pay? Because Carlos Beltran will, I don't think, he was, right? What Cora was stripped of his head coaching job with the Boston Red Sox for 1 or 2 years, right? Hinge was fired. He's back in the good graces of MLB managing the surprise Detroit Tigers. Carlos Beltran lost an opportunity to be the Mets manager. I think that's enough. Like, I honestly, as much as the scandal pisses me off, and as much as I believe he was probably one of the forefront guys coming up with the idea, as a player, it's at the tail end of his career, and it certainly didn't help him get into the Hall of Fame his final year with the Houston Astros. And it cost him the same that it cost Hinge and it cost Alex Cora their job. It cost them a job. He was going to be the manager of the New York Mets, and it cost him that job. And I will say this, rightfully so. I had no problem with the Mets moving on from him as the manager, and that scandal was enough to me to cost everyone involved their jobs. And I know the players went on the record, so they didn't get their jobs cost. And that's what hurt Beltran, is he wasn't a player anymore. He was retired, and he was going to be the manager of the New York Mets. But I thought Hinge deserved to lose his job. I thought Alex Cora deserved to lose his job. And I thought that Carlos Beltran deserved to lose his job as the manager of the New York Mets. Now, the other two had successful tenures prior, so they got their jobs back. Hinge is a World Series winning manager, so he got another job. Alex Cora, World Series winning manager, so he got another job. Carlos Beltran never managed a day in his life, coached a day in his life. And so he did not get another opportunity to be a manager in Major League Baseball. And I think the timing sucks for him in some ways. And maybe if that story came out after 5 years of successfully managing the Mets, he might get another job as manager. But that's not in the cards for Carlos Beltran. And I think that's more than fair. What's not fair is to keep him out of the Hall of Fame for it. And I'm not even sure that's, because he is, I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer necessarily. It doesn't have to be. And maybe it's not playing the role that many of us think it might be playing, but if it's playing the slightest bit of a role, I think it's nonsense. I really do. I don't think Carlos Beltran deserves to be punished as a player for that when no one else was as a player. No one else got punished as a player. People in front offices and management who should have known better, even though Beltran was a player at the time and not a coach, I do think it was warranted to no longer be able to be a candidate for the head coaching managerial position of the New York Mets. But as a player, he should be weighed strictly on his merit, and he is absolutely a Hall of Famer in my mind. He was a great player. He's one of the more feared hitters in baseball during his time, one of the better defensive center fielders. He had a complete game. He's one of the best position players the Mets have ever had. other than, unfortunately for Met fans, taking strike three against Adam Wainwright. He was an absolute, he's been a very good postseason player, was a force for the Astros in his short run, the first run with the Houston Astros before becoming a Met. I just think this is a guy who absolutely deserves to be a Hall of Famer. And he'll get there next year, I would think. But if people aren't voting him for him because of that scandal, which I'm not even positive that's the case, but if it is, it's nonsense. He paid. He paid his dues. He'll never manage. I don't think he'll ever manage in baseball. Maybe things will change in years to come. But losing that Met job was enough of a penance considering what everybody else got. And I wonder, we'll see, because in my mind, now, Altuve, considering the position he plays and how long he's been a, you know, dominant offensive player at that position, I think you could argue Altuve's a more deserving Hall of Famer than Carlos Beltran, but that's going to be the next test if we want to see what the Hall of Fame, how that Hall of Fame views that 2017 scandal. Because no doubt a Hall of Famer. Jose Altuve is a Hall of Famer. We can chant F him all we want at Yankee Stadium. He's a Hall of Famer. He's an MVP. He's a two-time world champion. You know, he's arguably, almost inarguably, the best offensive second baseman of this generation. He's a Hall of Famer. And he's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'm curious to see, when his career ends, how he's viewed by the Writers Association. But Beltran deserves to be a Hall of Famer. And so does CeCe Sabathia. And so does Alex Rodriguez. And so does Roger Clemens. And so does Barry Bonds. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are the only ones. I think that was very Frances. Did I say Sosa? Sammy Sosa. I think Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, and I understand I'm probably being hypocritical here and I'm riding this slippery slope, but if you are going to pretty much get into Hall of Fame as just being a power hitter, and again, Barry Bonds was a three-time MVP before his body completely changed. Doesn't mean he wasn't taking anything during that time period, but there is a line of demarcation from where he was and where he was after 1998, watching Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa hit home runs and steal the headlines and the heroes of baseball away from what he thought were lesser players than he was. There's a line of demarcation on what he looked like and, quite honestly, how he played. But he had the beginning of his career that was unbelievable. Manny Ramirez had the beginning of his career that was unbelievable before he ever failed a test. Alex Rodriguez, same thing. And honestly, they were better all-around baseball players. Mark McGwire hit home runs. Sammy Sosa hit home runs. And so I have a little bit more of a tolerance of not allowing those guys into the Hall of Fame. And that's probably hypocritical, and that's probably a slippery slope I'm going down, because their numbers overall warrant Hall of Fame inductees. But to me, Sammy Sosa was not a great baseball player until he started hitting 50, 60 home runs a year. Mark McGwire did hit a bunch of home runs prior to probably doing all this stuff. He, you know, had the rookie home run record for many years, but he became Paul Bunyan and then started hitting a million home runs. And if it's just home runs that get you into the Hall of Fame, I have more of a, hey, are we really going? I'm okay with that a little bit. But if I'm being fair, what the hell? Put them into. There's no reason, and put them all in. Again, I know we've had this conversation. I'm not trying to turn the show into a steroid show by any means. But everybody, from Derek Jeter to Mark McGwire, from Jose Altuve, even Jose Altuve, but not so much. That's later years. No, yeah, after 2006 in the testing, forget Jose Altuve. But from Ken Griffey Jr. and Derek Jeter to Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, everybody who has Hall of Fame credential numbers goes into the Hall of Fame and is under the suspicion of the steroid era. It's that simple. Put them all in and put a plaque. Pick whatever year in 1980 you want to start it with, 1985, 1988. Ask Jose Canseco. He'll tell you. And everybody who played during that time period was part of the baseball union who allowed it to happen, part of the baseball union that turned its blind eye, part of the baseball union that had the head of the union say it's no worse than smoking cigarettes. Everybody involved in that union, everybody who played in that era, under the suspicion of the steroid era. Boom. And we solved it. 888-808-1019. There you go. I just solved our baseball Hall of Fame problem.